I start?
A brown-haired Caucasian man sits with his shoulders hunched and his eyes downcast. Shaking his head slightly, he looks up.
It's not you. Well, actually, it is you. Look, I'm just not attracted to you anymore. I need space. You kind of gross me out.
A beautiful red-haired woman stares back at him.
In the beginning, it was different. In the beginning, you were better. But then I got to know you real well, and I came to realize.
He shakes his head, strands of hair hanging into his eyes.
You're a fat idiot.
She smacks him with a pillow.
Gotcha.
Okay. Let me try.
Yeah, be straight.
Okay.
Straight face.
Okay.
He leans against a headboard as she turns to him in their bed.
I want a divorce.
Why?
It's a physical thing.
He fights back a smile.
Physical?
I've been experimenting with other men lately. A lot of other men. And women. I don't know. I mean, Antonio can do this thing with his tongue. And William's stamina is amazing. And as far as hands go, well, your father has hands. Woo! Woo-hoo!
I know that. I have no equal.
Jumping up, she dances on the mattress before he pulls her back down to kiss her. A letter O dances around the black screen, changing colors. The words "nothing to lose" form behind it in green funky lettering. The O pauses and slips back into place in "lose." A view of a skyscraper gradually tilts up, revealing its height. The brown-haired man, along with another man and two women, stares at a third man with an image of two people in a speedboat behind him.
Brickman's! Brickman's powerboats! Get it? Brickman sells powerboats. We make the company mascot a powerboat.
What do you think?
I like it. Good work, yes. Alan. Zachary, you're up.
I just...
Ladies and gentlemen, Zachary!
Yes, sir. No, I'm gone. I haven't taken these with a focus group yet. I'm still working on that part, but I just wanted to let you know that these are just preliminary sketches.
Zach.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the new mascot for Heidi Ho Cookies. Da-da-da-da! Zippy!
He reveals a drawing of a walking cookie leaving a trail of chocolate chips behind it.
What is it?
Zippy.
What is Zippy?
He's a cookie man.
He's a cookie man? What is that on the ground behind him?
Oh, that's a trail of chocolate chips. See, wherever Zippy goes, he leaves this magical trail of chocolate for all the boys and girls.
Magical? This looks like poop. It looks like piles of poop. It looks like Zippy's walking around just crapping all over the place. It looks like
those are chocolate chips.
And what do you think it looks like?
excrement.
Zach, let's just say you're about to take a big bite of a juicy chocolate chip cookie. What's the last image you want floating through your head?
Excrement?
Excrement, right. Listen, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say maybe we should avoid all bowel-related items with this particular product. Just a hunch, you know?
I'll work up something different.
All right, thanks a lot.
Nick Beam's office. Oh, hi, Ann.
Ooh, everybody out. Big business deal.
He picks up the phone.
Hello?
Now we're still on for tonight. You stood me up twice, you know.
It's a done deal. New York Philharmonic, last night in town. I'll be escorting the sexiest woman in the world.
What about me?
We'll bring you.
Oh, guess what? My sister left a message on the machine, and she's coming in with her fiancé next Friday.
No.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
I finally get to meet the mysterious queen of the Peace Corps.
Yes, you do. Hey, can you pick him up?
Yeah, sure. When is it? Week from today.
I think it'll be around 10:30. I'm not sure. I have to check.
PB wants to see you ASAP.
Sorry, honey. I gotta go. There's an onslaught of initials coming at me.
Okay, tell him hello.
I will. I hate you.
Me too. Bye.
He enters another office.
Philip?
An executive closes a wall safe.
Nick? Oh, bungee jumping, Sunday. Nick?
Nick turns on his heel and pretends to leave.
No thanks, Philip.
PB?
No thanks, PB.
Nick?
PB?
Okay, forget it.
This guy's new.
Yeah, what do you think?
He eyes a statue with a large phallus.
I think he likes me.
Nirug, the fertility god. Boy, I like looking at this. Handmade in the Paleolithic period. Had to sacrifice my Ides of March gold aureus in trade. Pity. But, I think worth it.
So which one of you wanted to see me?
Charles McGinty is coming in at 5.
The Charles McGinty? McGinty Crackers Charles McGinty?
The very same.
Fantastic.
Anyway, I was supposed to have dinner with McGinty tonight. I'd love for you to stand in for me.
Oh, no. Philip, I promised Dan I
would... Nick. Oh, Nick. You gotta help me out here. I don't get this lucky every day.
Look, if this is about a woman...
You're a belle. I gotta go.
PB exits the office, leaving Nick shaking his head. Later.
Just needs to be... Guess who just called?
And a divorce lawyer?
McGinty's secretary. He's rescheduling.
All right! Yes!
Want me to get Ann on the line?
No, I'm gonna try to beat her home. I'm gonna surprise her.
This is great.
He leaves his office, flashing a pair of tickets. In the office building's atrium, our view shifts downward from artwork of an angel playing a lute to Nick exiting an elevator. He strides toward a flower shop just around the corner. Now, the sales girl lays a bouquet of yellow roses on the counter.
The wife again?
No, actually, I just met this incredible brunette on the elevator.
Well, I'm jealous. What would I have to do to get flowers all the time?
You don't get flowers all the time?
No.
It's a crime.
She enviously watches him walk away with the roses. Later, a navy blue SUV pulls into the driveway of an elegant whitewashed two-story home with a manicured lawn. Trees surround the building. Nick strides into a kitchen, roses in hand. Grabbing a glass vase off the white countertop, he places it into the sink and begins filling it with water. He turns to press the button of an answering machine. Looking up, he turns off the water. Eyes widening, he scrambles to grab a kitchen knife. He throws it on the counter, then digs through nearby drawers and pulls out a spatula instead. That too gets tossed aside. Rummaging again, Nick grabs a small can of pepper spray and holds it up. He carefully slides across the living room, hiding by an archway, then eyes his pepper spray and pockets it. He arms himself with a candlestick. Creeping up the stairs, Nick defensively holds up the stick like a club. He inches toward a door that lies open a crack. He frowns deeply, his brow furrowed, and slowly pushes the door the rest of the way open. Inside, a red-haired woman shifts on the bed, her bare back to Nick. His eyes widen in horror, his mouth hanging open. The woman leans forward, straddling a man, and shifts slightly as she tosses her hair. Nick slowly descends the stairs and shuffles back into the living room. Crossing to the kitchen, he stares at the candlestick in his hand, then places it down on a counter, where he notices something. He picks up a pair of gold cufflinks with black enameling surrounding the letters PB. He glances up. Nick tosses the cufflinks onto the counter. Slowly, he turns and walks away. Water drops on a note half submerged in the overflowing vase reading, "Love you, Nick." Now in his car, Nick stares straight ahead as he drives through a stop sign. Cars screech to a halt on either side. On the highway, cars swerve out of the lane behind him to pass him, though he takes no notice.
Hey, asshole, get out of the road!
His speedometer stays firmly at 16 miles per hour. Eventually, he exits the freeway and cruises through an industrial neighborhood of graffiti-covered buildings. Still staring straight ahead, Nick drives past a crowd of homeless people. Finally, he stops at a red light. Blinking, he leans back in his seat. A hand points a revolver at his cheek.
Welcome to hell, bitch! Car, keys, wallet, now!
Nick turns to stare at the African-American carjacker in the seat beside him.
You hear what I'm saying? Okay, now you listen good. It's a gun, okay? Don't be fucking around with no gun, white boy. Helen Keller, I'm talking to you. Can you hear what the fuck I'm saying?
Boy, you picked the wrong guy on the wrong day.
He stomps on the gas. The car speeds through the intersection.
Shit.
Nick locks the doors.
Are you gonna try to lock me? Unlock the door.
He swerves through traffic.
That motherfucker, start the car! Start the car!
They narrowly avoid a truck. Nick drives onto the sidewalk.
You're driving on the sidewalk, man. People got to walk there. Come on! Pull over, man. Quite bluntly, pull over!
Nick turns sharply, causing the carjacker's face to smush against his window. They crash through a back alley. Nick drives straight for a parked semi-truck.
Yo, man, there's a truck. I said, yo, man, there's a truck. Yo, man, there's a truck right there. Stop!
They smash through piles of newspapers on its hydraulic backlift. The car careens out of the alley and back onto the street, papers flying behind it. A man and his dog race out of the car's path.
What about my wallet?
You wanted to rob me, didn't you? Yes, I distinctly remember you wanting to rob me. Here's my wallet.
You want it? Here it is. Here.
What?
Here. Right out there.
He tosses it out the window.
What you doing, man? That was money.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got something else for you.
He pepper sprays the robber.
I'm blind. I can't see. The honey's got my eyes. The honey's gonna love my eyes.
Nick speeds toward a busy intersection. The screen flashes white, then fades back in to reveal the sun peeking over distant mountains and a desert landscape. A long, empty road cuts through the wilderness. Nick's car cruises past a green sign with white letters reading, "Welcome to Arizona, the Grand Canyon State." The carjacker's gun rests on top of the dashboard while he rocks back and forth in the passenger seat. He glances nervously at Nick, who stares blankly through sunglasses at the road ahead.
All right, you win, man, all right? Is that what you want to hear? You win.
Nick doesn't react. The carjacker glances out his window at the passing desert, then notices Nick smacking at his own chin.
The fuck? Yo, you ain't one of them desert slashers, are you? Cut a person's body up and leave it out in the desert in little tiny pieces and shit, huh? Oh, shit! We are in the fucking desert!
I'm in the car with a psycho freaky chasing a head killer motherfucker. Hey, please don't kill me, Freaky Jason. I say, please don't kill me, Freaky Jason.
Nick finally looks over, then turns his attention back to the road.
I done fucked around and caught a ride with the wrong white boy.
The car continues to speed through the desert. Now they pull into a parking lot past a faded sign reading, The Last Stop Diner. The words, good food, are painted in white on the building's A-frame roof. Several old beat-up farming trucks are parked around the adjoining gas station. Nick parks in the sandy lot. Grabbing the gun, he shoves it at the carjacker.
Get out. With pleasure.
Saya fucking Nara, pal.
Jumping out, he walks with a stiff waddle.
Oh. I can't feel my ass. My ass just fell asleep. I didn't even know an ass could fall asleep. It's all tingly and shit. Come on, man, you can't leave me out here. Yo, man. You can't just leave me out here!
Nick strolls into the diner. Inside, a fry cook flips eggs on a greasy grill. A large man hunkers on a stool at the counter, while the cook checks orders. Nick sits in a booth with a cup of coffee. Outside, the carjacker holds out his thumb by the side of the road. A man in a yellow bulldozer drives past him, ignoring him entirely. The carjacker throws down his arms, his black windbreaker jacket flapping in the breeze. Back inside the diner, he slides into a booth across from Nick.
Okay, I'll make a deal with you. You drive me home, I forget about this whole kidnapping shit.
Oh, come on. Hello, you tried to rob me.
He taps his forefinger to his temple.
You had a gun to my head.
The large patron and a server look over.
Look, I told you the gun wasn't loaded.
You got yourself into this. You know what you are? You're a bad person. You're an armed robber. Don't expect me to feel sorry for you.
Excuse me. Is there a problem here?
Yes.
Is this man bothering you?
Yes, he is. Oh, so you just gonna come right after brother. Won't you ask if he's bothering me? Lady, for all you know, I could be Denzel Washington. Take a good look. He could be some celebrity stalker.
I'm gonna have to ask you to pay for this coffee now, because I've seen these things escalate before.
No problem.
Nick reaches into his jacket pocket. His eyes widen. The waitress watches him as he pats his pockets.
Wow. Looks like the celebrity stalker don't have a wallet.
He hands her a dollar bill.
Oh, well, thank you. I will get your change, sir.
She walks away, and the robber grins.
What? You want me to thank you? So I owe you a buck. How was you gonna get gas? You don't have no money, no credit cards, no ID. Shit, man.
Okay, all right. You give me money for gas, and I'll take you back.
Now I'm cool. I'm straight. As a matter of fact, I like it out here in the desert. You know, you get all sweaty and shit, just bubbling off your ass. Just
Nick suddenly smiles.
What?
I just remembered. I have a spare credit card in the side compartment.
Both men smirk at each other, then lunge out of the booth. The carjacker chases Nick outside and tackles him to the ground. Nick pushes himself up but gets punched in the nose.
Right here.
What's up?
Scowling, Nick raises his fists.
What's up, white boy? What's up? Huh? Come on. What you got? Huh? Look at you. You done fucked around and got dropped.
Nick smacks him awkwardly on the head with the side of his fist. He cartoonishly puts up his dupes at the robber.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. What? You look like old girl, man. Get the fuck on out of here. That's all about your business.
Nick elbows him in the nose.
Mother...
The robber knees Nick in the gut. In response, Nick grabs him by the jacket and swings him around.
The merry-go-round! Oh, my God!
They both fall to the sandy ground, rolling around. Nick's head slams into the driver's side door of his car. The carjacker yanks it open, but it smacks him in the head. Dragging himself up, Nick digs through the door's inside pocket until he finds his credit card. The robber kicks him in the face. He grabs the card from Nick as he goes down. A frying pan hits and knocks him out. Seeing the waitress standing over them, Nick offers the card.
Thank you.
She smacks him too. As he falls, the picture fades to black. Back inside the diner, the card sits beside a bowl of ice water. Nick wets a towel and gingerly touches it to his face. The robber presses a spoon to the side of his nose.
Oh!
The waitress glares over.
I didn't know it was expired. Never use it.
The robber cuts up a plate of scrambled eggs.
So why are you out here?
What do you care?
I'm curious. I'm a student of human nature.
You're a freak of human nature.
That's all right. I forgive you. It's clear you have woman problems.
You're way off base.
I'm off base.
Yeah, way off base.
She mess around on you?
Look, even if I wanted to talk about it, which I don't, it wouldn't be with you.
You give her some nastiness?
Yeah.
I know you gave her some serious nastiness.
Just forget it.
What about him? You fuck him up? Did you whoop his ass? I bet you hit that motherfucker with a bat, didn't you? Cling! Bow! Fuck this ass up. No, wait a minute. You capped him. You capped that motherfucker, didn't you? That's why you out here in the desert, ain't you?
Look, I didn't shoot him. I didn't say anything to my wife. I just left.
What do you mean you just left?
Just left. I saw them doing, you know, and I...
He wafts his hand.
Walked away.
What a pussy. No wonder your woman is sneaking behind your back, man. You know what your problem is? You don't have the respect of your woman, man. That's what it is. Me, I got all that. I go home, my dinner's on the table. Bam, I don't want to hear shit, woman. And if I want loving, if I'm in the mood, I get that too.
You're so full of shit. What would you have done?
Man, I'd have went back to that house and I'd have pulled a Terminator on the front door. Boom, boom, boom! Who the fuck you think you playing with, woman? Who you think I am, some fruity pie? I ain't no fruity pie.
He looks at the credit card.
I'm Nick Bean. That's what I told her. I'm Nick Bean. And Nick Bean ain't putting up with that bullshit. She been crying, you know. Oh, Nick, please take me back, please. Please, Nick, it was only one time. I'm a one-time your ass. Nick Beam is the master of his fate, the ruler of his destiny. So if you want to cry on somebody's shoulder, why don't you cry on Super Dick? As for Nick Beam, I'm fit, lit, and I damn sure ain't taking no shit. So you can get the fuck out.
How would I have told the bitch?
That's what I told the bitch.
Nick reaches across the table and strangles him.
Oh,
the other diners hurry over and pull the two men apart. Later, Nick sticks a gas pump into his car.
Should I pay cash or do you want to use your credit card?
The carjacker swaggers into the gas station. Nick stares at his reflection in the car window. Now he pumps gas into a decorated black convertible and perches on the side of it, wearing a flowing white wedding dress and veil. They smile lovingly at each other. She mouths, "I love you," beaming. Now, gas overflows from the tank of his SUV. He staggers back, his shoes getting soaked.
Shit.
He hangs up the nozzle.
Put the money in the bag. Put the money in the fucking bag! Let's go!
Seeing the robber holding up the joint, Nick jumps in his car and searches frantically for the keys.
Shit!
The robber holds them up.
You weren't gonna leave without me, were you? What do you think you're doing? It's a special they got going on. You get a free stack of cash with every fill-up. Some luck, huh? How stupid can you be? We better get out of here. You take that money back.
The clerk grabs a shotgun.
Seriously, we better get going. We'll get going as soon as you bring back that money. I'm not bullshitting. Move out. I'm not going anywhere until you return.
The car side mirror explodes. They peel out of the dirt parking lot and race back onto the road, the station clerk following in his truck.
Why? 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 I didn't have any money, man.
Oh, you had money.
No, that $5 I gave the waitress was it.
What? The rear windshield shatters.
Oh, great. Buford's come to kill us.
The clerk grins as he leans out his window with a shotgun.
Persistent hillbilly motherfucker?
He has every right to be. You robbed it. At gunpoint. You dick!
Hey. You the one who threw the wallet out the fucking window. Smart.
A cop car rolls toward them. Nick whips the car around. The cop immediately pursues them. They race back toward the hillbilly clerk as the cop chases.
All right, man, what you doing?
Come on, asshole.
They speed at the truck.
Now, would you look at these crazy sons of bitches?
Oh, shit, we gonna die? Pull off the fucking road! Ah, get the pull off the fucking road!
Oh, shit!
Oh, shit!
Oh, shit!
Nick streaks toward the clerk, who veers to the side and shoots. The cop's windshield scatters. He smashes into the truck while Nick and the carjacker cruise away. Smoke wafts through the cop car as he reaches for his radio, which sparks. He throws it down in disgust. The clerk peeks in at him through the shattered windshield.
Hey, Earl.
In the SUV, Nick looks into his rearview mirror, eyes wide, and wipes his mouth with the back of his hand. The robber slowly peeks up from hiding below the dashboard, then looks behind them.
Oh! I'm alive! You alive! How'd you know that hillbilly was gonna turn first? You did know he was gonna turn first, didn't you? You know what? It don't even matter! I'm alive! You alive, man!
Nick stomps on the brakes and pulls over. Getting out, he storms over to the passenger side and yanks the door open.
Get out.
What?
Get out.
The carjacker glances around and pulls his gun on Nick. Nick slaps it away.
Not even loaded, remember?
The robber retrieves it.
What are you even thinking when you do something like that? You think you're never gonna get caught?
We didn't get caught.
That's not the point. It's beetle-headed. It's only a matter of time before you do get caught.
What? Is beetle-headed.
It's a synonym for stupid.
Oh, well, here's a synonym for procreation. Fuck you. It's easy for you to point the finger when you're sitting on your rich ass in a big fucking house.
I'm not rich.
Oh, yeah? How big's your TV?
What?
I say, how big's your TV?
50-inch.
Get in the car.
Oh, please, let's not make this a social issue. The point is that even if you wanted to rob a place, there are smarter ways to do it.
Enlighten me.
A mask. Wear a mask. You see, the police have this thing called a lineup. And if someone recognizes you, you go to jail. Oh, how about this for a novel idea? Case the place first. Find out if this is a security camera or a hidden alarm. Then again, why even rob a convenience store? How much money could you possibly get? $200-$300? Then what? You're set for 2 days. Wow.
What do you know, Lanky?
I know. You go for the big score. One robbery. You're set.
Newsflash, Big Slim. People with big money, they protect it.
So you do a little research. Take Quality Design Group, where I work. My boss keeps a ton of cash in his vault. At night, there's only two guards and a personal security system. Now, in this case, I happen to even know the code. But even if I didn't, I...
His eyes widen, then he slowly grins.
What?
The robber looks around.
I got a booger in my nose?
Nick massages his chin.
What? Diversify. You can't trust banks, Nick. The entire system could crumble at any second.
That bastard's so heavily leveraged, it would wipe him out.
Wait a minute. Am I hearing you right? Mr. High and Mighty's gonna rob his boss?
The robber looks around at the desert.
You hear that, Gila Monsters? Oh, Nick Beam here's gonna rob his boss. I say, do you hear that, Gila Monsters? You know what, Nick? Your wife really messed your head up bad, man.
Nick's smile fades. The carjacker tips his head.
You're serious?
How much he got?
Only the bulk of his personal assets. $600,000-$700,000. You what?
Hey, you're gonna need some help.
Oh, no. This has nothing to do with you.
Hey, I was present at the time of creative inspiration, which entitles me to partial ownership in this criminalistic endeavor.
Get out.
Well, maybe I'll just call Quality Design Group when we get back.
Nick scowls as the robber grins.
I want half.
Nick puts on his sunglasses.
We're gonna bury this asshole.
Sure you're right.
The robber puts on his own. They drive back onto the road. The SUV emerges from a massive dust cloud as it continues down the desert highway. If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take a highway, that's the best. Come on, get your kicks on Route 60. The SUV now sits parked near a butte. The robber emerges from behind some scrub brush and hurries back to the car.
Six.
They drive away.
Well, it winds from Chicago to LA. More than 2,000 miles.
A hand slaps a wanted poster onto a desk.
Highway shooters?
One black, one white, you tell me.
You were there and they got away?
They were driving a 1996 Yukon.
The county sheriff removes his hat.
License.
No, if I had a license number, Bart, I wouldn't be standing here eating large quantities of shit. Now, would I?
No, sir.
Monitor calls on both sides of the border. Fax that photo to every precinct on the planet. If there's so much as a sneeze out there, I want to feel the mist.
Bart examines the poster. It features sketches of two fugitives, Charles Dunt, an African-American man, and Davis Landlau, a.k.a. Rig, a Caucasian man. Now, those criminals saunter into a convenience store. Rig approaches the counter.
Give me all your money in a UFO.
Money's all locked up.
He punches the clerk. Charles casually hops over the counter and grabs a bottle.
79 cents, please.
He opens the cash register and grabs the money inside, then climbs back over the counter and follows Rig out. Meanwhile, the SUV cruises through the night. The robber wrinkles his nose.
Oh. Something stinks, man.
You sure you ain't got a gas leak?
It's my shoes.
Your shoes? You ever heard of Dr. Scholl?
I spilled some gas on my shoes at the gas station. You know, the one you robbed.
Oh, so you got a camcorder up in here.
What are you doing?
I'm just checking it out, man.
Put it down.
I ain't gonna break it, man. Just let me check it out.
Just let me see.
He turns it on and sees video of Ann playing with
a
dog.
This is your wife? Man! I see why you were upset. Not bad, Nick. Not bad, Nick. I mean, you know, for cheating, bitch.
Look, don't you call her that. You don't know her. Don't call her that.
Okay. No disrespect, okay? What should I call her? Monogamously challenged? I'll just fuck with you, man. You know, this is all a camera for a regular eight.
It's the best on the market.
Let me explain something to you, Nick. If you ain't got digital, you ain't got shit. This has only got one CCD chip. Broadcast is three, Nick. Don't look at me like that. What, are you surprised I know shit? The
guy that sold me that camera just set up our computer network.
Windows NT?
No, just Windows.
Man, get out of here.
Look, here's a nutty idea. If you actually know something about this stuff, why not use that knowledge and get a job?
Take a good look at me. I'm not exactly the corporate color.
That's ridiculous. If you wanted a job, you could have one.
There's a spider on your head.
What?
There's a spider on your
head. Look, I am sorry. I am not up on all this jive-talking homeboy lingo. What's that supposed to mean? There's a spider on your head.
It means there's a spider on your motherfucking head, man.
Well, get it off! Get it off! Get it off!
I ain't touching that shit!
Get it off!
The car swerves. The robber films a tarantula crawling on Nick's ear.
Yo, that's a big fucking spider, man.
It jumps onto his eyes and nose. Nick slams on the brakes, jumps out of the car, and frantically squirms around, brushing at his head.
Nick, it's just a spider.
I'm a scat man.
The tarantula crawls away. The robber continues recording Nick as he stomps around and steps on a book of matches. His toe grinds on the matches, igniting them, and his shoes catch on fire. He stamps his feet into a goofy dance as he tries to put it out. The robber nearly falls out of the car laughing.
You got the hot foot. Your neck. Get on the good foot. Get on the good foot.
Nick finally puts the flames out.
Oh, got it.
He gets back in the car, still smoldering. The robber puts the camcorder back into the glove compartment. He glances at Nick, who shakes his head. They drive away.
I'm a scat man! I'm a scat man!
They pull into a gas station. The carjacker slaps a wad of cash into Nick's hand.
I gotta make a call. You pump.
Give me the gun.
What?
Give me the gun.
With a smirk, the carjacker hands over his pistol.
Man, I wasn't gonna rob the place, man.
Then you won't need this.
He tucks it in his waistband.
Need this?
Nick pushes into the convenience store. Glancing up from a magazine, the attendant looks him over and sees his burnt shoes as he approaches the counter.
You must be really fast.
Nick smiles mirthlessly.
$20 on pump number 15 and a sour fruity twist.
As the clerk stands to ring him up, he spots the gun poking out from under Nick's jacket.
You a cop?
No.
He grabs a shotgun.
You bastards have tried this too many times!
Oh, listen.
Shut up!
I wasn't gonna...
Shut up!
Keeping his gun aimed point blank at Nick, he dials a phone.
Emmett County Sheriff Station.
Nick shoves it aside and draws his pistol.
That show, cops? I love it.
He hangs up.
Have you ever had a really bad day?
The clerk swallows.
Having one right now.
Now look, baby, I told you I'd be home later. Now this guy say he got a job for me, okay? Paying big money. Okay, now please don't argue with me. Not now, all right? I'll see you later. Okay.
Shaking his head, the carjacker hangs up a payphone and steps out of the booth. He stops in his tracks when he sees Nick and the clerk through a window.
Now all I want's $20 on pump number 15 and a sour fruity twist. Is that too much to ask?
No, sir.
Do you mind if I take your gun?
No, sir.
Would you please rip the phone cord out of the wall?
What?
Would you rip the phone cord out of the wall, please? This is for the phone and for the gun and for the sour fruity twist. $20 on pump number 15.
He leaves some cash on the counter.
Go on. Thank you for your patience.
Yes.
While the clerk rings him up, Nick walks out with the candy twist clenched in his teeth.
Let me get this straight. It's all right for you to rob a place, but it ain't all right for me.
I didn't rob them.
Well, you got a funny way of not robbing a motherfucker. Nick, let's get out of here, man, before he calls the cops.
He's not gonna call the cops.
How do you know?
I had him rip the phone cord out of the wall.
Oh, shoot. That's pretty good. And you got his gun? Not bad, Nicholas. Not bad.
Nick lifts the nozzle out of the gas pump. He nods and waves to the clerk, who forces a smile. Elsewhere, a dusty, beat-up old car cruises the desert highway. With the engine hot-wired from the exposed steering column, Charles conducts the music with a lollipop as he drives. Rig rolls his eyes. Sporting a nose ring, he looks over at Charles with annoyance.
Charlie, this shit's depressing the shit out of me. Make me sad.
What? Oh, come on, man. This shit is the shit. This is the shit. It's supposed to make you sad.
It's grim.
Oh, man, come on. This is the shit. This shit is the shit. This is the hellified love music.
I'm in bad shape over here.
You know, maybe I can tune you in to a nice AM station, get you some Donny Osmond.
Rig spots the carjacker with a shotgun.
Charlie, what's this? Slow down.
Get the fuck out of here.
Pull over and turn the headlights on.
Charles slowly U-turns the car and pulls into the shoulder of the road before stopping. The headlights flick off. The gas meter clicks to $20. Sitting on a railing with a shotgun, the carjacker watches Nick return the nozzle to the pump.
Yo, man, you could have gotten me a piece of licorice.
Sour.
So? Still could have got me a piece?
I didn't think of it.
Oh, you didn't think of it. Just selfish, man. Guess that's the world, you know? You're just selfish.
There.
He gives him a piece.
No.
Charles and Rig watch the two drive away, then slowly pursue them with their headlights still off. Inside the SUV.
Damn! I swear, white people must got totally different taste buds, man.
That's a very racist thing to say.
Oh, yeah? Good.
Headlights illuminate behind them. Nick squints.
What the f-?
The fugitive's car rams into the back of the SUV.
They're ramming us.
Thanks for the late breaking news. Step on the gas, Nick.
I hate this car.
Oh! Charles pulls up alongside the SUV so he and Rick can get a good look at the duo.
Look at his face, man. Look, man.
The carjacker flips them off. As Charles sideswipes the SUV, Nick struggles to keep control. Smashing into the corner of their front bumper, Charles runs them off the road into a speed limit sign. They crash to a halt against a sandy embankment. As Nick and the robbers slowly recover from the wild ride, the other car rolls up face to face with them. The fugitives get out.
They don't look like cops.
Definitely not cops.
Get out of the car.
Rig loads a shotgun. Nick and the robber comply, but the latter pulls his gun.
There you go.
All right, motherfuckers, back the fuck off.
Charles and Rig look at each other, then both draw on them. The carjacker flings his pistol away.
Oh, shit. It's cool. I'm cool. We cool. I just fucking with y'all, man. Hey, what's up? Y'all live around here?
Bring your ass around the front of the car. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. There you go.
There you go.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, he falls.
Watch your feet.
Come on, rubber legs. Let's go. Watch where you walk and watch your feet. There you go, baby.
Perhaps you two haven't heard that my partner and I here own the rights to all violent crime on this particular stretch of highway, and we don't take kindly to any unauthorized criminal activities.
You don't understand, we're...
Rig blasts the hood of the SUV open.
It's my car.
Have your attention, please.
Yeah.
I bet you used to sell more Girl Scout cookies than any other member of the whole troop, didn't you? What were you calling yourself back then? Yolanda, you little bitch? Cynthia, Susan, what was it? I can't remember.
You got it. I'll be a gentleman. Don't even worry.
Huh?
No, don't even worry.
He punches the carjacker and slams him into the SUV. Nick holds out some coins.
I have these.
Oh, now that's not going to be enough. Where'd you put your booty?
Charles Dexon. He tosses Nick's bronze business card case to Rig.
Oh, I've done it. I found someone I like less than you.
Shit, that's a fancy case, Frank. You know, when a sweet-mouthed girl like you has a fancy case like this, a man gets to thinking, where's the wallet?
That's it. You're dead, man.
I'm gonna need that wallet, Alice. Where's that big, fat wallet? Give it to me. Give me your fucking wallet, you little bitch.
Nick shoves himself to his feet and glares at Rig.
You know what? Nick, what you doing?
I'm sure you're a really scary guy. I'm sure that normally people just quiver at the very sound of your voice. But you see, I can't see that right now. I just see a weak, desperate little man who probably grew up torturing little animals, some puny little uncoordinated, can't make the football team, so I'll pick on third graders and steal their lunch money. Punk, jerk off, bully. That one day wakes up and realizes he's nothing, just a sad, pathetic, useless, illiterate piece of inbred shit.
I just want you to know, I totally disagree.
No.
Rig thrusts the barrel of his shotgun under Nick's chin.
Time to die.
That just makes you my best friend.
The carjacker steals a handgun from Riggs's waistband.
Right, drop the fucking gun!
Charles drops his pistol.
Give me this, motherfucker. Now back the fuck up before I kick you in your bitch-ass chin. Back the fuck up!
He wildly waves the gun around.
Then I say back the fuck up, everybody! Back the fuck up!
He shoots Nick's arm.
Oh.
Nick looks at his arm. Rig watches with wide eyes.
You shot me.
I'm sorry, Nick.
Put down a gun.
Shut up.
You shot me.
I said I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean it. The gun just went off. You know I had the same trouble in bed? Well, rarely. Every once in a great while.
Put down that gun, you idiot.
Would you shut up? I'm shot here.
You shut the fuck up. Who the hell do you think you are?
You shut the fuck up.
You shut the candy
fuck up.
You shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck
put
up.
Down.
Hey, shut the fucking gun.
Put that fucking gun down before you take a fucking toe hit.
Shut the fuck up.
Everybody shut the fuck up.
He swings the gun wildly again.
Shut the fuck up! Especially you, shut the fuck up! You like Girl Scout cookies? Come in, come in. You want a cookie? Here's a cookie.
He thrusts his hips.
Back the fuck up like I done told you to, dumbass. Back up, back up!
He shoots out the front tires of the fugitive's car.
Get a car, Nick! Look at you now!
The carjacker closes the SUV's hood and gets in.
Bow, cowboys!
Nodding, Charles folds his arms. The carjacker drives away with Nick. He sprays the wanted duo with dust and gravel before speeding off. Rig sighs heavily. Inside the SUV, Nick clutches his arm.
Nick, why the hell you start up with that guy, man? You shot me. I'm sorry. You shot me. I'm sorry. You don't say you're sorry when you shoot someone. You say you're sorry when you step on someone's toe or you accidentally break their glasses or you fart while they're eating. You don't say you're sorry when you shoot someone!
Shit. Oh, my God. It's going numb.
What?
Nick carefully unbuttons his blue shirt and pulls it off, revealing a tiny red scratch on his arm.
Oh my God. Nick, that's the most hideous thing I ever seen. Hey, yo, man, you know, maybe if you wrap your arm in ice, they can reattach it.
Sneering, Nick pulls his shirt back on.
That's a baby gash.
Shut up.
But it's a baby gas.
It could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse.
It could have been, but it wasn't. I'm a
thinking shooting.
Look, just calm down, all right? You're gonna upset your wound.
He cracks himself up. The SUV continues down the highway. Meanwhile, Charles stands by the side of the road sucking his lollipop. As a car approaches, he sticks out his thumb. The driver pulls over.
Yeah, you blokes want to live somewhere?
Where you from?
London.
Me too!
Really?
Yeah!
That's terrific. Hop in me car, let's go then. Come on, jump in. Let's go.
The criminals climb in.
Ah, this is great.
Hey, would you scoot over a smidgen?
He kicks the man out of his seat and speeds off in his station wagon.
Sorry about that. Cheers, mate!
Rig opens the bronze card case and reads one of the business cards.
Nick Bean.
Where are we headed?
L.A.
He holds up the card.
City of Angels! Ah!
They drive toward lights in the distance. Now, the SUV drives along an empty city street.
So where you plan on staying tonight?
I'll just sleep in the car.
Yeah, right. You can stay at my place.
Thanks. Just for tonight.
What? Did you think I was asking you to move in?
No, I was just saying that.
Please, Mr. Bean, stay with me forever.
Just shut up.
Mr. Bean.
shut up.
Mr. Bean, Mr. Bean, Mr. Bean.
You know how to shut up?
Mr. Bean.
In your vocabulary?
Stay with me forever, Mr. Bean.
You ever shut up?
Please stay with me forever, Mr. Bean.
They pull up in front of a squalid apartment building. Graffiti covers the facade of the front staircase, while metal fencing enclosing a construction trailer on one side. Nick eyes his banged-up SUV as his companion leads the way toward an open gate. Inside, they climb up a flight of stairs.
Look here. When you meet my wife, she don't know nothing about my sideline gig.
You mean she doesn't know you're a thief?
Hey, I'm not a thief, okay? I just dabble in future used goods.
What does she think you do all day?
Look for work, man.
The carjacker puts his finger to his lips and approaches a door.
Maybe if you did look for work, you wouldn't have to steal.
Don't judge me.
He opens the door, revealing a cozy living room furnished with a piano, bookshelves, and a wingback chair. A light turns on to reveal a woman in a robe.
Baby, am I glad to see you.
No. Talk to me. Explain this to me now.
I got mugged.
She raises an eyebrow.
Okay, I didn't get mugged.
I got mugged. He got beat up.
And remember I was telling you I had a job interview? Baby, that's him. He right there. That's the player right there.
Nick extends his hand to her.
My name's Nick. Nick Beam.
She folds her arms.
Nice to meet you.
When are you going to stop getting into trouble, Terrence?
Terrence?
T. Okay, my friends call me T. You can kiss my ass. Boop!
Okay, Terrence.
Oh, Mama, please go on back to bed. Mama?
She slaps him.
What kind of man stays out till 2:30 in the morning and then comes back looking like a bruised turd?
Mine.
Don't you talk back.
Don't talk back to your mother.
She slaps Nick.
What'd I do?
You got that slap because you with him. And I know you part of whatever badness he's into.
Mama, enough.
You got some explaining to do in the morning, Mr. Gentleman. Now you think on that.
She smacks her son one more time, then eyeballs Nick and storms off. Nick rubs his cheek while T cries.
But you keep on smacking me, Mama.
Now, his wife gently puts a bandage on Nick's wound.
Okay.
She smiles.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
She dabs a wet cloth to T's cheek.
Okay, now you come here. Come on.
Mama didn't have to smack me 3 times.
All three glance at a window.
We gotta move out of here.
I know.
I heard gunshots.
A boy enters.
Hey there, boy. Hey, what you doing up this late, huh? What's up? What you doing up this late?
A young girl walks over.
Honey, we woke you.
Well, look, don't worry. Get daddy a kiss. Come on. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. I ain't gonna let nothing happen to y'all. You know that, right?
What happened to your face?
I'm cool, little man. Hey, you do your homework?
Yes.
I said you do your homework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, sir.
What about you, little miss? You do all your homework?
I don't have any homework.
You don't have no homework. All right, time to go back to bed. Let's go. Hut, 2, 3, 4. Make a right at the right door. Make your choice, because you got
Nick
to go.
Smiles. Now, T's wife puts bedding on a couch.
I hope this isn't an inconvenience for you.
Not at all. You seem like a nice man. Terrence can use a few of those in his life. Good night.
Good night. Thanks.
She walks away, and he sits on the pink blanket looking around at the apartment. He sees her wrapping her arms around her husband's neck and kissing him.
Mm. Mm.
They move into their bedroom. Nick looks away and plays with his hands. His gaze falls on a wall filled with framed photographs above a computer desk. He stands up and approaches, taking a look at a framed diploma among the pictures. It reads, Astoria Institute Home School of Engineering Certificate of Achievement, and bears the name Terrence Paul Davidson. Nick examines the photographs of T and his family. In the last one, they all sit on the sofa, with T ducking as his mother swings her hand at him. Nick smiles softly. Looking down at the desk, he sees some papers peeking out of a folder. Opening it up, he flips through the pages. The words, not hiring at this time, limited experience, require a degree, and no openings stand out among the sentences. Nick frowns, his brow furrowing. Turning away from the desk, he wanders back to the couch. He sits heavily, leaning back against the floral upholstery, and folds his arms over his stomach. He looks toward the bedroom door, then lets his gaze drift thoughtfully. Our view floats away from him sitting restlessly on the sofa, then fades to black. The next day, tall trees frame a view of the Hollywood sign. Inside a sporting goods store, T picks up two gray ski masks. He folds them up and stuffs them down the front of his pants as he looks around. A saleswoman talks with a man nearby. She looks over. Her smile fades as T walks by, the hidden masks forming an enormous bulge in his pants. He looks her over and grins. Her face twists in disgust. T smirks and saunters out of the store. Now, Nick pulls one of the ski masks over his face.
You know, I never noticed before, but you got really nice eyes.
Shut up.
What you do?
Get this over with. Can't believe it. I'm committing armed robbery for two flashlights.
Hey, don't worry about it. Let's go.
They move out from behind a dumpster, though Nick presses against it for cover while T strolls casually. They walk in front of a store. Nick crashes into a series of pull wagons and knocks them all over as he falls. T looks around frantically and helps him up before the two rush into the store. T whips out his revolver at the elderly clerk.
Freeze, motherfucker! You move your ass so much as an inch, I'll blow it off! You hear me, motherfucker? You hear me?
What? You have to be so mean. Hey, look, man, now ain't the fucking time, all right? You say scary shit, it scares him.
Yeah, but you have a gun. Plus, what you're doing is a stereotypical robber thing. I mean, it's much scarier than someone with a gun is calm and cool.
Collect it, man. That's bullshit.
Nick takes the gun.
Excuse me, sir. Come here. Come here.
The clerk slowly approaches.
Come here.
Nick rests a hand on his shoulder and eyes his name tag.
Now look, Henry, we're gonna take some things out of here. And you're just gonna stand there.
Nick stares into his eyes and nods slowly.
You got a problem with that?
Henry shakes his head.
No.
Good.
Nick straightens and leans on the counter.
Now, honestly, which one did you think was scary?
Honestly?
Mm-hmm.
He was scary.
Really? You didn't find what he did contrived?
No, it was scary.
What part?
Well, the freeze motherfucker part was scary, and then he led me to believe that if I moved my ass, it might be blown off.
Nick's shoulders slump.
You were scary, too.
Oh, come on. You're just saying that. You don't have to lie.
Oh, I'm not. I thought you were very scary.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Henry.
Yo, check it out! Flashlights with AM/FM radio on it. They all light. You listen to your music while the lights on, boy.
All right, all right.
T stuffs the two large flashlights into a duffel bag. A man walks into the store. He freezes, as do Nick and T. Nick suddenly shoves the gun in his face.
Freeze, sucker, bitch!
The man cowers.
That was much better.
Thank you, Henry. See you later now.
That was sucker, bitch.
The two robbers leave. Now a neon sign reads, Welcome to Milligan's Island, and features a skirt swaying on a woman's hips. Inside, scantily clad women dance on tables and platforms under thatched awnings. Nautical items add to the tropical decor. One of the women dances over to a man as he holds out a folded dollar bill. A hand flicks open a lighter. The flame ignites and licks at the edge of Nick's business card. Rig watches it burn.
Yo, Rig! Hey, yo, Rig!
He sees Charles with two women.
Hey, come on over here and meet Ginger Mae.
One's wearing a checkered shirt and cutoff jeans. The other a fur stole and evening gown. The burning card singes Rick's fingers. Now, the SUV sits parked across the street from Nick's office building. Its clock turns to 8 o'clock. Nick and T get out and race across the street to the building. Nick still wears his business suit and T his windbreaker jacket. Nick flattens himself against an opaque glass wall while T runs back and forth looking for cover before finally hiding alongside him. They peek inside to see a single security guard behind a curved desk. Both men press back against the wall. T digs into a planner and grabs a stone, then hurls it through an upper window. The guard looks up from his magazine. Nick and T watch as he comes out through a revolving door, turns on his flashlight, and meanders away to investigate. Behind his back, the two burglars race through the revolving door into the lobby. They climb up a spiral staircase.
Hey, Nick, what floor is it on?
15.
What 15?
Come on.
Why can't we just use the elevator, man?
Because there's a guard that patrols the building.
This is bullshit.
Meanwhile.
Come on, man, it's Saturday night. I'm not going to be there anyway.
Look, I know we're going to go back Monday and we're going to get him. Just want to check it out. Take a left here, will you?
Seriously busted up my party, you know that.
Those girls were attracted to you. I mean, Christ's sake, they're only human. You're a handsome man. We will go back.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay.
It's not with you.
They spot the SUV.
You shot?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In the office building, Nick rests on his hands and knees atop the staircase, catching his breath. T staggers up behind him and collapses.
Beat you. I carried the damn bag.
Still beat you.
Beat me at what? Climbing steps?
They grab their flashlights.
Guess we'll call you the Step King.
Clicking them on, they advance and shine their beams into the Quality Design Group's glass-walled offices.
Oh, shit.
Blue laser beams rapidly flash across the interior. Nick taps a keypad. The words, "Please enter correct code," appear on the screen.
What?
Nick tries again.
Come on.
The words reappear.
Shit. Asshole must have changed the code. Step aside. Let me take a look.
T opens the keypad, exposing its internal wires. He runs his fingers over them and traces their paths.
What are you gonna do? You got 12 possible stations here. You're only using 7. I'm gonna make the other 5 stations active. Run a test mode and force the system into rotation. What does that mean?
He taps the pad and the lasers shut off.
We got 5 minutes.
Shutting the panel again, they unlock the office door and hurry inside.
Here, put on your mask. Is that mask sweaty? I think that's the one I hid behind my balls.
They pull on the masks and slip into PB's office. Staying crouched, they make their way past a tribal mask. T puts a piece of tape over security camera's lens. Pulling off his mask, Nick approaches a credenza and presses a button. The wall slides open to reveal PB's safe. Nick punches in a code. It opens. The two of them grab stacks of money and shove them into the duffel bag.
Yeah, all right. Go, we got 3 minutes. Let's go. Looking good. Yeah, put the money in there. Let's go. All right.
Nick spots a photo of himself, Ann, and PB on the credenza.
Here we go. Money.
Nick closes the safe with his elbow.
Mask.
They tug their masks back on and grab their flashlights.
Let's go, baby.
Nick follows him past the fertility statue, then pauses. Tossing his flashlight aside, he reaches up and peels the tape off the camera. He glares into the camera.
What the hell you doing? Nick.
Nick flips off the camera.
Okay, that's real clever, Nick. Let's go.
He starts to walk away, then turns back and flips it off with both hands.
Come on, man.
Nick continues gesturing emphatically, even swinging his leg up and slipping his hand and extended middle finger under his knee. He then gestures to the statue.
This is very nice. This is very nice. It's very nice. Oh,
I don't think I've ever seen a more beautiful piece of shit.
Very nice, very nice.
He pats the statue's head, then grabs a nearby sword. He slices the phallus off the statue. T looks around frantically.
It's great. You done cut the dick off a statue.
Yanking his mask off, Nick stares into the camera.
How's it feel, Philip? You had it all, but it wasn't enough for you. You had to mess with me. Nobody messes with Nick B.
T frowns. Nick tosses the sword aside, retrieves his flashlight, and violently clicks it on. He stumps out of the office, T following behind. Both men are unmasked. An elevator light glows. The doors slide open to reveal a security guard who saunters out. He twirls his flashlight lightly with his fingertips. The beam spirals across him as well as the hall behind him as he meanders. He shines his light on the lettering of the Quality Design Group offices. Turning off the flashlight, he holsters it in his belt, then practices drawing it like a gunslinger. He twirls it back into its holster. Staring ahead with one hand still on the flashlight, he gestures to an invisible opponent, then quick draws again. He twirls the light in midair next to his palm and holsters it once more, finally swaggering back down the hall.
Your face, man. You showed your face.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter. They catch you, they catch me. It damn well matters.
The guard stops elevator doors from closing and sticks his head out.
Hey, man, look at me. Look at me, man. I'm not going down for this shit.
The laser lights turn on. Standing just out of range, the two robbers look at each other, then turn to see the guard unlocking the office doors. He doesn't see them. T dives under the lights and hides behind a column, while Nick scrambles behind a desk. The guard opens one of the doors and saunters into the office. He casually shines his flashlight around as he glances about the reception area. Nick accidentally nudges his own flashlight with his knee. A large yellow button on the back scoots dangerously close to a wooden panel. Satisfied, the guard turns back for the doors. Nick looks frantically at T, who peers at the retreating guard. The button on Nick's flashlight hits the desk. The guard freezes. Nick and T glance around. The guard slowly turns back. T rapidly gestures to his own flashlight. Nick frowns in confusion, then hastily picks his up. The guard begins to wander over as Nick frantically searches for the off button. Nick finally finds the glowing yellow button and presses it. The guard glances over just as Nick ducks back behind the desk. He flashes his light over the desk, missing Nick, while T ducks back behind his corner. The light illuminates a desktop clock. The guard turns it around and sees the time, 8:23.
Alarm must have been set.
He clicks the radio on. He spins the turning dial. He looks left and right, then turns the volume all the way up. His foot taps. T peers over and sees him spinning around. He begins to dance. Thrusting a pointed finger out, he shimmies his hips and twirls around. T watches him, his brow furrowed. The guard continues to dance, completely lost to the music. Nick slowly peers over the top of the desk, his brow also furrowed. The guard swings his flashlight around, his mouth hanging open, and shimmies in his own personal rave as the laser lights flash. T shakes his head and purses his lips. Holding a pose, the guard pulls down a set of keys attached to a reel on his belt, then lets it retract and continues dancing. Nick rubs his mouth. T glances helplessly out a speckled glass door. The clock changes from 8:24 to 9:47. The view shifts from the clock back to the guard, now covered in sweat, as he holds his flashlight like a microphone.
Hey there, lonely girl.
Now sitting, T stares up at the ceiling. Nick lies on his side on the ground, using his arm as a pillow. The guard looks at his watch. He turns off the radio. Nick looks up, as does T. The guard pockets his flashlight and strides out. Nick crawls under the lasers, and the men leave the office.
White people.
Outside, they hurry across the street, passing in front of Rick and Charles in their parked car.
Our dates.
Nick and T climb into the SUV. As they drive off, the criminals wait a moment before following with their headlights off. Later at a hotel. Nick and T dump the money onto a table. T jumps on the table and rolls in the bills. Nick watches him grinning.
Look at this, man. Mama say, mama saw, Marku saw. Oh, smack me 2 times. Calm down. My son is going to the best schools. My daughter, she ain't even gonna know what food stamp is. My wife, we going out all the time. All the time.
He sees Nick sulking.
What's wrong with you, man?
Doug.
You sweating that bullshit, ain't you? You sweating that bullshit. Hey, you did what you had to do to that guy, man. Don't worry about it. I put that shit behind you, man. Where you going? Where you going? Where you going?
Just gonna take a walk.
All right. Well, hurry back. I got willpower, but I don't know how much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Later, our view slowly passes over a line of small empty glasses on a counter, each containing a squeezed rind of lime. It eventually settles on a filled glass. Nick picks it up and drinks the entire thing in a single movement before replacing it on the counter. He absently rubs his fingertips. Behind the counter, a bartender in a button-down shirt and black tuxedo vest makes notes on a clipboard. Nick glances around and squints at him.
You ever do something that you thought would make you feel great? Weird way, you almost feel worse?
Revenge, huh? Some things hurt no matter what. That must be a fact of life.
Hi. Hi.
The florist approaches.
Nick, I can't believe it. What are you doing here?
Danielle.
She kisses his cheek.
I don't know.
Oops.
I don't know what I'm doing here. What are you doing here?
Oh, well, Sheila, my best friend. Well, she used to be my best friend. I guess technically Marcy would be my best friend. I mean, they both think they're my best friend, which is okay by me. But once I did have this nightmare where Sheila and Marcy are standing right next to each other and this Eskimo guy comes over and he says, pick. I thought I was gonna die. I mean, an Eskimo guy, what is that all about? Anyway, Sheila, she's visiting and she's staying here. And so I thought I'd take her to a party and show her a good time. And she meets this guy and she goes home with him instead. And oh, you really look good.
He smiles.
You look good, too.
Thank you.
Do you want...
He points.
Drink?
Uh-huh, yeah, sure.
Nick holds up 2 fingers.
You know, I'm such a klutz. I spilt beer all over my dress earlier, and, well, I think it stained. Did it stain, Nick?
She looks pointedly at him, leaning back to show off her chest. They both rapidly knock back their drinks. She wraps an arm loosely around his neck.
I have Sheila's ring key.
She pulls him in.
You wanna come up?
Let's get high!
In the elevator, she shoves him against the wall and kisses him fiercely. She yanks off his jacket and rips his shirt open. The buttons fly off as she makes out with him again. Next to them, an elderly lady rolls her eyes and grimaces. They notice. Danielle yanks Nick off the elevator and the woman sighs in relief. In the hotel room, T arranges the money into stacks.
Nick, use your key, man. All right, Nick, damn.
He walks to the door.
Hey, Nick, watch. Use your key.
He reveals Rig and Charles.
Turn your bed down.
Meanwhile, Nick and Danielle continue to make out as they stumble into another hotel room. They roll around on the bed. Danielle raises her head.
Stay.
She slinks away and turns on a radio clock. The time is 10:40. Nick squeezes his eyes shut and shakes his head. She sashays over, running her hands from her curly hair down her sides and pulls off her dress to reveal a black slip underneath it. She lightly tosses the dress onto Nick. He frowns. She continues shimmying and swaying to the music, loosening the straps of her slip, and leans onto the bed.
I've been thinking about this for so long. I want you so bad.
I just wanted to make her happy.
This is gonna be a night that you won't forget.
I try to forget, but I can't.
Oh, no, give it to me, Nick.
Give, that's all I did was give.
Oh. He buries his face in her chest. She stops as he clings to her. Frowning, she looks down at him.
Nick.
He looks up.
Nick, you're really putting a damper on the mood here.
I'm sorry.
I can't. I just can't.
He pushes her off of him. She flops to the side as he gets up and stumbles away. In the other room, Rig stuffs the money into the duffel bag.
Hey, Kareem. Are you aware that Charlie and I had intended to come up here and cap your punk ass? And your girlfriend, Nick. But shit, you two muffins did such an outstanding job with this financing. Who could think about killing a time like it?
Thanks. Your approval means a lot.
That's how you speak. That's how you speak.
Charlie? No. That's gonna be too loud.
Charlie points his gun at T.
Too loud.
Rig grins wickedly. In the hotel lobby, Nick walks past a phone on the wall. He stops, looking sidelong at it. He picks it up. His hand hovers by the number pad, but he puts down the receiver. He presses his forehead to the wall. Grabbing it again, he dials a number. Ann picks up the phone in her house.
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Oh my God, Nick, is that you? Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Oh, thank God. I didn't know if I thought that you're not hurt?
No.
Oh, thank God. Where are you?
Look, Anne, let's not make this harder than it has to be. I saw you.
What?
I saw you. I know.
Saw me what? What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, do you have to do this? You and Philip.
What about him?
You're denying it. She's denying it. I don't believe this. Friday afternoon, remember? Well, guess what? I came home early. I saw you, Anne.
She closes her eyes.
I was there.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Nick, I was still at work Friday afternoon.
At work? Well, then, your clone was at home screwing my boss.
Nick, it was my sister. Remember, I told you she was coming next Friday with her fiancé? Well, I made a mistake. It was this Friday. They called from the airport. I told them about the key and the planter. I called you, but you'd already left the office, so I left you a message on the machine at home.
What about the cufflinks? Philip's cufflinks were on the sink, Anne.
Honey, they've been in the dresser since the Christmas party. I left them on the counter so you'd finally remember to bring them to him.
So you're not having an affair?
No, you dick.
You still love me?
More than anything in the world.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe what I've been through. You're gonna laugh, but I actually...
His face falls, his eyes widening.
Shit.
What's the matter? What's wrong?
Shit.
What's the matter?
What? Shit!
Letting the phone drop from his hand, he rushes into an elevator. As the doors open, he sees Rig and Charles walking by and ducks out of sight. He watches them board another elevator. Nick rushes into his room and stops short. T sits in a chair, balancing precariously on a balcony railing. A bedsheet connects it to the sliding glass doors where it's lodged in a crack between them.
Don't touch it.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
T looks over his shoulder at the parking lot far below. Sweat covers his face. Nick contemplates the wedged sheet.
I think I can open the door and catch the sheet.
Don't touch the sheet, please. Don't.
No, no, no. No, don't move. Don't move.
Oh, shit. I didn't move the hand.
I really don't think you should be moving right now. I think you're moving.
Call the paramedics.
All
listen
right.
To me.
I call the...
Get them here as fast as you can. Have them meet me with a gurney.
Wait, let me practice.
Let you practice? I'm hanging on a fucking ledge, man.
Nick practices catching motions.
I don't want to die like this, Nick.
All right.
I wasn't trying to stick you up, man.
First, I'm going to say one, then I'm going to say two, then I'm going to say three, and then I'm going to
do it. I can't hear you.
I'm going to start with one and count to three.
Okay.
Ready? One.
Right.
Two.
I can't hear you. You got to be louder, Nick.
I said two.
Are you on two already?
I'll
start from
again.
One.
The sheet slips a little further.
One.
Right.
Two.
I got you.
Three!
Oh! He catches it.
I got it! I got it! Got it!
Nick struggles to free himself from the doors.
Way to go, boy!
He falls as Nick loses his grip. He lands on the balcony below. Pushing the sheet off his head, T looks up at Nick, then glances around rapidly.
The elevator! The money!
He jerks his head to the side. Later.
Remind me to kick your ass later.
In the lobby, a wedding party gathers as a photographer captures the bride and groom. Nick and T rush down the escalators toward them. Nick's foot catches a suitcase and he nearly falls. Outside the main entrance, the criminal's car speeds away. Nick and T run to their SUV. Rig puts a sack of cash in front of his nose.
Smell that. Oh, yes, you too can be a millionaire.
Hawkers! Smell this.
400!
We hit the bottom low, man!
The SUV rams them.
Okay, what now?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? I thought you said you had a plan.
That was my plan, to ram them.
Ram them.
Rig stuffs money back into the bag. The SUV continues to ram them. Charles fires. Bullets shatter the SUV's front windshield. T grabs a shotgun.
You know I'm tired of this shit. Let's go!
He leans out his window and shoots out a tire of the other car. They crash into a pole. The criminals stagger out of the car. Nick and T park nearby. Nick grabs the other shotgun.
I'm actually grabbing a gun and going after bad guys.
You the man?
They get out and stride toward the crashed sedan. They skitter along a dimly lit alley, searching for the two criminals. Boxers and dumpsters line the sides of the alley, and steam billows near the far end of it.
You see him?
No. I'll let you know.
Please do.
Nick.
The criminals emerge from their shadows. Charles carries the bag. Nick and T ready their guns.
What?
Rig raises his.
You checking this shit out?
Hey, Nick. I like you like this. You and your prom date both having weapons. That way I don't have to kill an unarmed couple. It's not my style.
Put down the bag.
Paul Bunyan, come and take the bag.
You're an idiot! Shut up!
Shoot, no, you're Nick. A fucking idiot!
Who are you, crime dog now? Bag. Are you aware that there's only two kind of people on the whole planet? There are killers, and then there's everybody else. I'm a killer, Nick. Yes, 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 yes. What are you, Nick?
Nick squints at him. Cocking the gun, he frowns.
I'm married.
He blasts Triggs' gun out of his hand. Charles drops the bag. T slowly turns his head to stare at Nick, his eyes widening.
Oh, shit! What, are you fucking out of your mind? What, are you, crazy?
Rig cradles his hand, and T dances in place. Nick still aims at them.
Who's in control now? Hand over the bag. That's my man Nick Bean here. Gonna put one in your ass. Ain't that right, Nick?
He leans an arm on Nick's shoulder and raises his own gun. Rats scuttle through nearby trash as Rig and Charles lie on their stomachs, their arms bound behind their backs and attached by a thin length of rope to their ankles. Three cop cars with their lights flashing roll up. The criminals look up as more officers arrive. Several cops pull their guns. Two officers approach them with handcuffs. A cop hands a sheet of paper to his superior.
It's them.
The sergeant grins.
Well, some folks in Arizona are gonna be mighty happy to see you, boys.
Rig smacks his head against the trunk of his car as the LAPD officers drag them off. Nick and T's SUV cruises down the street.
I'm married. Kablam! You're too much.
Is the money all there?
Looks like it.
Great. We have just enough time to get it back.
T looks over at him.
Excuse me? You have to bring the money back.
Maybe you're a little bit confused about the purpose of a robbery.
Aw, T, I didn't tell you. When we were at the hotel, I called my wife. Everything's all right. You see, I wasn't hurt. She wasn't even there. Isn't that great?
T stares blankly at him.
It was her sister and her sister's fiance.
I don't give a damn if it was her Uncle Festin Gumby. You ain't taking this money anywhere, man. You wanna hear all that?
Nick frowns. He yanks the bag from T.
Let go.
Let go of the bag.
It's not your money.
It's not your money.
It's not your money.
It's not your,
it's half mine.
Let go.
You let go. Let go. You let go. Let go.
T punches him and Nick elbows him back. The car careens from side to side as they fight. T headbutts Nick, then climbs in back and kicks out the remains of the rear windshield. Nick reaches a free hand back to grab him. T climbs free and rolls into the street. Nick stops as T struggles to get up. T flops over with the bag. Nick slowly strides toward him. T gets to his feet.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. And you?
I live.
T looks him over and shakes his head rapidly.
Can't let you take the money, Nick.
T, my life is in that bag.
Nick, even if you wanted to take the money back, you can't. Your face is on the video, man.
They only review the tapes if something's missing. I can go into work early and bring it back. No one will know.
T glares at him and starts to walk away.
T.
He stops and incredulously turns back.
I can get my life back.
T curls his upper lip. Nick nods to the bag. T looks down at it. Pursing his lips, he tosses it at Nick. He catches it.
You forget one thing, Nick. I get my life back, too.
The two men look at each other. Then T slowly walks away. Nick watches him walk down the empty street, past several shuttered, graffiti-covered businesses. His brows knit, Nick returns to his car with the bag in hand. T wanders past a large shuttered theater with an Art Deco marquee above his head. As he continues to walk, blurry neon signs flash in white, green, and indigo behind him.
Money don't make my world go round.
He tosses his revolver into a nearby trash can. Now he enters his apartment.
I can rest my weary face.
He slowly walks in and looks around.
Life's answers we try to find.
Oh, we're trying to find. Yes, we're trying to find.
Battling inside our mind.
Rubbing his face, he sits heavily on the couch.
Where do I go from here?
He winces and delicately touches his head.
Will all my friends be there?
His children approach and cuddle up with him. He smiles. He hugs his son as his wife walks over. She settles on the edge of the couch. Scooping their daughter onto her lap, she snuggles against T's side and nuzzles him gently. He hugs his family. Now, the SUV pulls into Nick's driveway. Sparks and a plume of smoke erupt from the broken rear bumper. Nick wearily gets out of the car. The side mirror falls off. He glances at it, then walks toward the house. Anne opens the front door and hurries to him.
Oh my God.
They embrace tightly. He pulls back.
What happened to you?
It's a long story. I got shot.
What?
And I think I'm wanted in Arizona. Plus my shoes caught on fire.
They head inside. The next day.
You told me you were selling me the top of the line. The top of the line is digital. Did you sell me a digital? No, you did not. So I am bringing it back and I expect a full refund. And if you do not give me a full refund, you will not be doing business with myself or my company. Thank you.
Nick triumphantly hangs up the phone in his office.
So, did you hear?
What?
Some vandals broke in over the weekend.
What?
Well, nothing was stolen. They cut the thingy off Pee-Pee's statue. They're reviewing the videotape.
He climbs over to his desk and rushes to his boss's office, where three security guards stand by a TV. On a cart, PB sits in a chair with his hand to his mouth.
Everybody, how's it going?
Not now, Nick.
In grainy footage, he flips off the camera.
Everybody see that game last night?
Whew. Game? What game?
Oh, that game. No, overtime. Will Whoa. You please shut up?
In the video, Nick examines the statue.
Oh, you pig. Oh, you pig. Oh! Well, that's it. What's done is done.
Listen, I've got this great idea for the new McGinty Cracker mascot.
Move! Thank you! Nick, shut up!
Nick shifts uncomfortably. The footage freezes just as he's about to unmask himself. Staticky white bars cover the screen. Nick's eyes widen as video plays of his shoes on fire.
Well, what is this? What the hell is this?
You go crazy as a spider.
Somebody must have recorded over the tape.
Who had access?
The guard looks down.
There was an electrician in here this morning.
What electrician? I did not order an electrician.
I did. The flickers on the 60. Fluorescent lights are flickering.
I'm really sorry, sir.
This is terrible, Phil.
I would really like to be alone.
I'll go now.
I'd really like to go.
I'll leave.
You should go too. I would like to be extremely alone.
I'm going to leave you alone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.
PB buries his face in his hand. Now in a park, T barbecues with his family.
All right, now cut that out. Y'all want to eat? You want to eat? I tell you want to eat. You want to eat? All right.
Just don't burn the meat.
I'll never burn the meat.
Uh-huh. What happened the last time?
Hey, Dad, what don't happened? Burn the meat. Yeah, I'm going to put some more popo sauce
Joey,
on it.
Joey, Tanya.
Like that. Oh, let me see your mama, boy. You know?
Now, this is my very special mustard. Don't let nobody touch that.
Okay, Mama. All right.
Nick approaches with a smile.
So how's the electrician business?
T looks up.
Hey, not bad. Hours are a bitch.
I want to thank you. I don't know why. I just want to say I appreciate what you did.
T smiles.
Don't mention it, huh? How's that? How'd you know where I was, anyway?
Nick tips his head.
A friend gave me a tip.
T's wife smiles.
Friend, you hungry?
Yes, we would love for you to join us, wouldn't we, Mom?
T's mother walks away. Nick grins at them.
Talked to my boss today after things settled down and convinced him we need a new security system. Got any ideas?
Sure. I can help you pick one out.
You want to run it? You need someone trustworthy? I told him I know just the guy.
Well, I'm going to have to think about this, Nick. Right now, I'm weighing out several lucrative offers. I mean, they rolling in. A lot of people want me to work for them. Right?
Now, and just the way I like it, all I need now is some of Mama's special mustard.
Her face falls as Nick scrapes the bottom of the jar and spoons it onto his hot dog. She glares at him and slaps the food from his hand.
What I do?
She slaps T, too. T's wife and son get between the mother and Nick and restrain her. Nick runs away.
Now I seen places and faces and things you ain't never thought about thinking. If you ain't peeped, then you must be drinking and smoking. Pretending that you're loking, but you're broken. Let me get you open. Now little Timmy got his diploma and little Jimmy got life. And Tamika around the corner just took her first hit off the pipe. The other homie shot the other homie and ran off with his money. And when the other homies heard about it, they thought that it was funny. But who's the dummy? Cause now you done lost a hustler. A down ass brother done been replaced by a bustler. And though I got love for you, I know I can't trust you. Cause my crew is rolling Hummers and your crew is rolling Dusters. And just because of that, you act like you don't like a brother no more. I guess that's just the way you go. I ain't trying to preach. I believe I can reach, but your mind ain't prepared. I see you when you get there.
I see you when you get there.
More temptation than faith, I guess we living for the day. I seen a man get swept off his feet by a boy with an AK. The situation so twisted, everybody getting lifted. I'm just trying to take care of my kids and handle my business. Cause it's way too serious, so you gotta pay close attention, so you don't get caught slipping when it come to do all the getting. Life is a big game, so you gotta play it with a big heart. Some of us gotta run a little faster, cause we gotta lay the start. But I'll be a fool to surrender when I know I can be a contender. If everybody's a sinner, then everybody can be a winner. No matter your rag color, deep down we all brothers. And regardless of the time, somebody up there still love us. I'ma scuffle and struggle until I'm breathless and weak. I done strive my whole life to make it to the mountain peak. Always keep reaching, sure to grab on to something. I'll be there when you get there, waiting with the sounds bumping.
Walk down the road of our destiny, and the time comes to choose which shall it be, the wide and crooked or the straight and narrow. We got one voice to give and one life to live. Stand up for something or lay down in the game. Listen to the song that we sing. It's up to you to make it be. I guess I'll see you when you see me.
Audio description by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by John Bentley. At the gas station T robbed, a postman gets out of his van with a mailbag. He reaches into the bag as he approaches the hillbilly gas station attendant. He hands him a mustard yellow envelope. He looks at it. It's addressed to Hillbilly Motherfucker, care of Tony's Oasis Gas, Sunland, Arizona, 85335. He opens it and pulls out three $100 bills, then looks up and grins broadly. Cut to black.